Well, good evening. It's good to see everyone here. So let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. So after doing study and studying through this chapter, don't worry. I know church normally ends about 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights, but we're not going to go that late. After studying this passage, I just kind of want to, before we start reading, I want to give you all kind of some context of where Jesus is and his disciples. And we'll kind of dive into the message. So let's look at John 10. So if we were to go through and we were to read through John chapter 8 and 9, we'd see that Jesus is in Jerusalem during these chapters. And if you kind of go through and look at some snapshots of what's happened, you'll see that the disciples have seen Jesus getting a couple conversations with the Pharisees, right? So these disciples, a lot of these guys were, they thought that Jesus was coming and he was going to set up his kingdom now. And, you know, he was going to just throw the Romans right out of Israel, right? Well, Jesus wasn't going to do that, right? We can look back and see that he did not do that, right? He came to die. But these disciples, they still were thinking that Jesus was going to come and he was going to set up a kingdom. So Jesus, right here in chapter 10, is using these parables. He's trying to help his disciples understand that, hey, he's trying to change their focus and help them understand that as much as they wanted him to set up his earthly kingdom now, that wasn't happening yet. So let's read John chapter 10, and we'll start reading in verse 1, and we'll get started. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth out his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And then verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which that he spoke unto them." So let's pray, and then we'll get started in the message, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we're here to start off our year right, Lord, in church. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful singing that we've had, that we've been able to worship in song. Lord, please be with the message, Lord. Help me to get it out of the way, Lord, so that you can your message can be shown in each and every person's heart here today, Lord. We love you and thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name. So if you're taking notes, the title of the message is we're going to call it The Sheep in Spiritual Warfare. So Jesus, when he is going through and he's giving this parable, he is trying to help the people, his disciples. He wanted his disciples to know him, to know the enemy, to know his command, and to know his sacrifice. If we know anything about the disciples, many of these men were fishermen. There was a tax collector in there, right? These were not a bunch of Roman warriors, were they? So Jesus is using this illustration, this parable of sheep, to help them understand something that they were more familiar with. So let's look at the first thing. Is the first thing Jesus wanted his disciples to understand is they wanted to know Jesus. He wanted them to know Jesus. So the first thing we're going to look at is in this passage, we're going to look at the door and the shepherd. So Jesus is using, in this parable, he's using the illustration of the door as himself and as the shepherd. So let's read in verse 7. It says, "Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." And so let's think about what does a door do, right? One of the things a door does is a door gives us access, right? Can you thank the Lord that we have access to the Father through Jesus? I mean, that's awesome. That's one of the biggest, greatest things that stuck out to me is, you know what? We have a mediator to God in Jesus, right? We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to sanctify ourselves like they did in the Old Testament for us to approach and go into a tabernacle or a temple to worship. But we have the priesthood of believers, right? We all can go straightway to the Father in prayer. And if you think about it, what does a shepherd do? A shepherd leads the sheep. In that same way, a shepherd gives access to his sheep, right? Because those sheep follow him. So the first thing we see that Jesus, and the illustration of a door and a shepherd, he gives us access. You know, a shepherd and a door both give security, right? We think of a door. If we have a door, and especially in Bible times, they would put a big bar on the door, right? To keep people from, lock it from the inside, keep bad people out, and then the good people could stay safe inside. A door is a symbol of security. You know, a shepherd is also a symbol of security too, isn't it? Because that shepherd, he carries that rod and carries a staff. And as he carries those, he's able to protect the sheep, right? And the third thing I can see that a door and a shepherd in this illustration have in common is they can give salvation too, right? I mean, most of us here are from Texas. We have tornadoes, right? And we have rain, and we have bad rain and bad hail. You know, living in Kansas recently, most of what they don't have hail up there very often. Most of the time, it's just a bunch of snow, or it's a bunch of rain. So when you get hail, unfortunately, like you do here, you want to be able to get inside and get some protection, right? And that door is the access point, and it's the way that we can get some protection, right? That same way, Jesus, and let's read in verse 15, I'm sorry. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the sheep, and lay down my life for the sheep, right? The shepherd will give his life for the sheep, right? We have salvation through the great shepherd, don't we? So now we've looked at knowing Jesus, right? Jesus wanted the disciples to know him. He also wanted him to know their enemy, right? What does it say in verse, let's read verse 1 again. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, right? And if you read verse 8 too, he continues to talk about thieves and robbers. Well, what's the first thing we know about an enemy, right? If you were to go through and if most people don't enjoy reading stuff like this, I haven't read it. But if you were to read Sun Tzu's Art of War, one of the things that he talks about if you're able to attack, you need to look like you can't. But if you can't attack, you better look like you can, right? It's the art of deception, right? Trying to, like the thieves and robbers will deceive to try to get us off the track, right? In that same way, we know our enemy is deceptive, right? We know Satan is deceptive. Satan will use anything and everything he can. Satan likes to make a good counterfeit, doesn't he? He's made counterfeits all throughout the Bible, and we'll see it again in Revelation, right? During the tribulation, we'll have the Antichrist, an imitation, a poor imitation, but an imitation of Christ. Also, an enemy is commanding. I don't know if you've ever watched social experiments on YouTube or anything like that, but if you ever watch a magician, they command the stage. And if they're doing close-up magic or anything like that, close-up illusions, they will take command of what they're doing. And they do that to distract you. And that same way, Satan likes to command our attention, right? That's why we have billboards all up and down the freeways. Satan likes to command our attention so that he can get our attention off of the great shepherd. Right? So we know Jesus, right? He wanted the disciples to know the enemy. The next thing we want to see is he wanted to know the command. Let's read verse 4. It says, when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. And listen to this, for they know his voice, right? Well, Jesus is going to give us a command, right? And if we're thinking of a military, right, a command, something that comes down from above, right, from your superiors, and that's something we need to follow. Well, how do we know the commands of God? God's given it to us in the Bible, right? That's awesome. We have the Bible where we're able to use that to hear the voice of God, right? When you have a command, there's some important parts. You have to have authority, right? Because I'm an older brother, so I know little brothers who try to tell me to do something I'm not going to do, right? That's That's what older brothers do. Little brothers do it too, right? They don't want to listen to their older brothers. But we have the authority, right? And this command coming straight from Jesus, right? That's the ultimate authority, right? Everything that's in the Bible, we can take that, and we have the authority of God behind the Bible. That's why we believe it's true, right? There are people who don't believe that the Bible's true because they don't understand the authority behind the Bible. So the next thing is we have to think of the command source, right? We know the authority comes from God. Well, that command, the command in verse 4 here, let's read verse 14 as well. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. What is he trying to say there? He's trying to say the sheep know him and he knows the sheep. Well, we have the verbal inspiration of the Bible, right? We believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. Because of that, we know that the Bible is just as good to us as if God was talking straight to us from the Bible, correct? That's what we have. We have the command. We know where it's from. We know it has a good source. And we know the voice of God, right? So let's look at the fourth thing. We've gone through, he wanted the disciples to know Jesus. He wanted the disciples to know the enemy. He wanted the disciples to know the command. And lastly, we need to know the sacrifice, right? Let's read verses 15 through 18. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What's Jesus talking about here? He's talking to the disciples. And we know after reading, when you read the Gospels, you understand that most of these disciples, they don't get that Jesus is going to be dying in the next few weeks. They don't see that happening right before their eyes. And we look back at it and we look, oh, well, that's really easy to see when they say hindsight's 20/20, right? I had to make a 20/20 reference, I guess. But when we look at this, right, this is the sacrifice that Jesus is going to make in a couple weeks after this, right? He is going to go to the cross. He's going to die for all these people. And he's trying to prepare his disciples so that they understand that there's going to be a sacrifice that's about to happen. Now, who's the sacrifice for? The sacrifice is for every single one of us in this room and every single one out of the room, right? Every single person has the opportunity to get saved, right? Amen. But this is also a warning for the disciples. He's trying to help them understand and help them prepare themselves for what's about to happen. That's why he's giving this. He's giving this parable so he can help the disciples understand that he's about to die. We need to know and act on the word of God, right? We've seen that the disciples needed to know Jesus. They needed to know their enemy. They needed to know the command, and they needed to know the sacrifice. Well, we need to know these same things as well, right? Because first of all, we need to know Jesus. We need to know that Jesus came miraculous birth. We've been dwelling on that for the last month, right? We need to know that Jesus came and lived a perfect life and died a perfect death to atone for our sins. We couldn't do it ourselves. We also need to know our enemy, right? We need to know that we have multiple enemies, don't we? We have Satan. We have his fallen angels, his demons, right? We also have our heart, right? The Bible says our heart is desperately wicked. We have all these enemies that we see around us. You know, we also need to know the command, right? God has given us a Bible, right? We have the opportunity to read that Bible. And we have the opportunity to read, and the Holy Spirit will give us understanding. And we can understand this Bible, and we can understand what Jesus has done for us. And that brings us to our last part. We understand, and we can know the sacrifice that Jesus did. You know, when I was a six-year-old kid, I grew up going to church my whole life. I'm pretty sure the week after I was born, my mom had me in church. And I grew up, and my mom just was reading to me all the time, and she was always reading from the Bible. And I was blessed to have a mom who cared enough to have me memorize the Bible. I remember back when I got saved. I got saved as a six-year-old kid. I was pretty young. And I remember just going home after church on a Sunday night, asking my mom, telling her, I know I'm not saved. I need to go to heaven. And asked her to help me. Help, asked her to show me, right? Show me through the Bible. We all have the opportunity to accept the gift of salvation. So what are we going to do about it, right? We know the Jesus, we know the enemy, we know the command, and we know the sacrifice. You know, there's going to be some of us here, and myself included, there have been times where when we have marching orders, right? We have marching orders, we have the gospel, right? We have the Great Commission that tells us to go to all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. We have our commands, right? But some of us have gone a little AWOL sometimes. I know I've been guilty of it through my life. It's easy for us to come complacent and get on like Christian autopilot, right? Just living day by day, just trying to get to the next day. But what we need to remember is there's a spiritual war going on, isn't there? Right? We know that Satan is after us. Satan knows his fate is sealed. He's trying to drag as many of us along with him. And you know what? Satan might try to use every tactic in the art of war or any other combat book that you can think of, but we know where the true power is. We know the true power comes from Christ, right? We can look to the Bible when we have our problems, right? It's not always going to be an easy day. There are days that are harder than others, aren't there? But we can look at the Bible and we can find hope, right? We can find rest in the Bible. You know, this whole passage is talking about the shepherd, and Jesus is talking, but you know, he's talking about the sheep too. And I want us to focus real quick at the very end here. Let's focus on, let's read verse 16 one more time. It says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know, there's two different kinds of sheep, aren't there? We got lost sheep, right? And we got saved sheep. And there's some people here who are saved, right? And if you've been saved, then you're part of the flock of Christ, right? But there are going to be some people who are not part of this flock, who are lost. And the great shepherd, right, he's out there looking for sheep. And all we have to do is accept the gift of salvation. So let's pray, and we'll begin the invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us come and learn about your word. Please be with us as we've heard your word, Lord, as we begin this year, Lord, help us to start this year and hit the ground running, Lord, so that we can do great things for you this year. Please help our hearts, Lord. Help us to continue to stay focused on you, the great shepherd, Lord, and not get distracted by those who aren't you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. As the piano begins playing, let's all stand. You know, I think most of the people here are Christians, and you know, we can thank God. We can thank the Lord for his sacrifice, right? We can thank God that he has died for us, that we have access to the Father through him. But you know, some of us might need to refocus. Some of us might be like the disciples. We're thinking about, as Dr. Barber used to say, that you could be more, you'd be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But maybe we need to refocus on the Word of God, and not just focus on it, but act on it. So as Brother Sides sings, if you feel like you need to pray, you can come down to the altar and pray.